The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, City of Hope, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, and Star General. Insurance made simple.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust that you well. If you want to give us a call at some point on the show today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Well, today is the day, right? 4 years since the last election in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that ushered in the Progressive Liberal Party to office, having replaced the Free National Movement led by the Progressive Party being led by the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, now Prime Minister of the Bahamas, for 4 years. Yesterday, we looked at the accounting that the Prime Minister gave of his stewardship 4 years, according to his own words, and we've seen since videos, clippings confirming exactly what he said as part of the party's efforts to tell the world what it has done these 4 years. Some of you weighed in with your comments about what was done. And today, I thought we would look at individual cabinet ministers in the country and see how performed in their duties. What is the role of a cabinet? Well, the Constitution defines that role as one of the three branches of government. The cabinet has the responsibility of providing general direction and having control of the government. That's the responsibility. To have general direction and control of the government. It says general direction because the intent would not be that the cabinet goes in and micromanages the agencies and agents of government. That is not the intent. The intent is that the cabinet provides policy direction, public policy direction, meaning in to the extent that an issue or concern exists within the public sphere, that is concerning the general population of the country, that the cabinet decides on how that issue is to be addressed. If it decides to do something, that's public policy. If it decides not to do something, that's public policy. If it decides a law as a means of addressing that, then that is the most formal means of public policy. You codify the policy itself so that it is written out and stated concretely what the intent is in respect of that policy. We have those policy in relation to crime in the country, so we know what the government's policy is in respect of murder, rape, stealing, that kind of stuff. We have that in respect of economic matters. We know the government's policy is in respect of starting a business, purchasing land, and that's those kinds of things. We know what the government's policy is in law in relation to education, that a person who has not graduated high school under the age of 16 must be attending school. That's a formal codified policy, public policy. We know what the policy is in terms of health in some instances, public health. And so we know what they are codified. Then there are policies that are more in the nature of the government to operate. They may not be codified per se. They may not even be formal regulations per se, but they are, for instance, the way the government processes an application in relation to foreign direct investments, the way the government may attend to matters related to some local concerns. These aren't necessarily codified. Mind you, they cannot be contrary to the law, but they, within the ambit of the law, they can represent just procedures, processes. And when the government mounts a project, when the government mounts a program, these two are manifestations of public policy, how the government has chosen to deal with a matter, whether that's the National Youth Guard, as the Prime Minister points to it, or Junior Achievement, which has been around for a long period of time, or Fresh Start, which has been around for some time, or how the government deals with Junker New. All of these represent policies whose responsibility for creation, promulgation, and facilitation in terms of ensuring that they are being carried out belongs to the cabinet and the cabinet ministers. The cabinet, the prime minister, as you know, he's a cabinet minister. He's the chairperson, though, of the cabinet. So he's expected to be the coordinator of the affairs of government. And so to the extent that in ministries aren't conflicting with each other on policy, the prime minister's responsibility is that. The prime minister's responsibility is to set the agenda for the government. And so to the extent matters come before the cabinet, it is the prime minister's determination as to what matters comes to before the cabinet, when they come before the cabinet, and what order they would be dealt with in the cabinet. That's not seen, that may not in the first instance seem like a very powerful thing, but the agenda setting power of any chairperson is enormous. Well, if you have a matter and it can't get on the agenda, then it can't be addressed. And if I'm the one who's determining the matter that will get on the agenda, there you go, power. Well, I'll put the matter on the agenda, but it will not be number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 in the priority listing. It might be 27, 38 or something. And so there is great power in the prime minister's ability to determine the agenda of the cabinet. There is also the responsibility of the prime minister to resolve conflicts that exist between ministries, between cabinet ministers in respect of matters. Sometimes that does happen where you have cross purposes, you can have disagreements and the like. Well, the prime minister's job is to resolve those, amongst other things that impact or might impact the general direction of the government or the control of the government. And so the prime minister is the first, as we like to say, among equals. And he's also the first lord of the treasury. No matter who you name as minister of finance, ultimately, it is the prime minister's responsibility to have oversight, and in a way, of the resources of the people. And then each cabinet minister has their own defined responsibility. So what happens is the prime minister looks at the various functions of the government, and he groups those functions and activities of government in what we call portfolios. So if you think of a portfolio, a book in which people keep their work. So in the same way, there is a book of responsibilities that a cabinet minister has. Now, that's a cabinet minister with portfolio, okay? All cabinet ministers are not the same in terms of designation. So a cabinet minister with portfolio might have the portfolio in which all matters attendant to education, training, and other things rest. So you have the Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Training. So all matters related to that as designated by the prime minister. This isn't something that happens automatically. This is the prime minister determining this activity, that responsibility will be in education. He could decide to put sports in education. He could decide to put culture in education. He could decide to put finance in education if he wants. I'm just telling you, it's prime minister's responsibility. So he determines that portfolio. Similarly for finance, for attorney general, and so forth, right? And so once he's done, then you have the portfolio assignment of cabinet ministers, and that is gazetted so that it is a formal notification to the world, the country and the world, that these persons are duly designated and authorized to exercise policy direction over those matters. Okay? The Constitution, of course, names some cabinet posts that must exist, and the prime minister is one of them. Minister of Finance is one of them, and the attorney general is one of them. It is also true that in law, ministers have particular responsibilities. So what you will see in an act is that the minister responsible for this. So it might not say the minister of, it just says the minister responsible for education, the minister responsible for finance, the minister responsible for public service. And so once that is true, if the prime minister designates somebody as having responsibility for that particular thing in law, then that belongs to the person. The person has whatever authority that the law gives to them, and so forth. All right? You can have within a ministry a minister, and then you can have a minister of state. The minister of state is a cabinet minister. The minister of state is not a junior minister. The minister of state is a cabinet minister, only without portfolio. That's all that that means, which means that that person might exist and float in that portfolio, being assigned various things within the portfolio, or could have general operating responsibility from day to day of the portfolio. I can't say this enough. I mean, no matter how you say it, some brilliant soul is going to tell you otherwise. A minister of state is not a junior minister. Not a junior minister. A junior minister is a parliamentary secretary. A parliamentary secretary, again, can exist within a portfolio and have a narrower scope of responsibility within the ministry, maybe responsible for being responsible for one or two agencies or departments or something of that nature, or some specific policy initiative within a ministry. Parliamentary secretaries do not attend cabinet meetings. Ministers of state attend cabinet meetings, and they don't have a lesser vote in the cabinet. They are cabinet ministers, right? And so that's the nature of things in the country. When we come back, just in case you need reminding, to the extent the information I have is correct, I will give you the cabinet ministers that exist in the current administration. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come
money is as busy as you?
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-20 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, talking about the responsibilities of cabinet and the performance of cabinet ministers to date. There hasn't been a great deal of shift in the cabinet. Not a great deal. There's been some. So if any of this, I'm on the government's website. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm on the government's website now. It's the government's site. So I hope. I hope that we get the information right. But if it's not, you let me know if you don't know better now. Because we don't want further confuse the situation, right? So who are the members of the Bahamas cabinet is the question we want to answer before we talk about how they have performed their duties. All right, so we have the Prime Minister, who is also the Minister of Finance. That's the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, the Member of Parliament for Cat Island, Rum Key, and San Salvador. We have the Honorable Chester Cooper, who is the Deputy Prime Minister and also the Minister of Tourism, Aviation, and Investments. That's changed. And he's the Member of Parliament for Exum and Ragged Island. We have the Honorable Fred Mitchell, the Member of Parliament for Fox Hill. These are an order of seniority as well. Yeah. And he's the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Glennis Hannah Marsden, she's the Minister of Education and Technical and Vocational Training. The Honorable Miles LaRoda, Member of Parliament for Pinewood, who is now the Minister of Social Services, Information, and Broadcasting. The Honorable Alfred Sayers, the Member of Parliament for Fort Charlotte, who's the Minister of Immigration and National Insurance. let me do something here so we make sure we get these right. So all we said so far, I believe, is correct. Lord, they small. This is the cabinet site. Y'all don't think we could have put them on? We could have made them a little bigger than that. Oh man. I'm on the cabinet, the cabinet's website, and I don't have my eyes in that good to read some of these things, man. You are, we got to be able to do this a little bigger than that. So we have the Honorable Leo Ryan Pinder, who's the Attorney General and the Minister of Legal Affairs. We have Senator the Honorable Michael Halkidas, who is the Minister of Economic Affairs. We have the Honorable Dr. Michael Darvall, who's the Minister of Health and Wellness. We have the Honorable Clay Sweeting, who's the Minister of Public Works. We have the Honorable Keith Bell, who's the Minister of Housing and Urban Renewal, I believe. We have the Honorable Wayne Monroe. This is no longer being seniority. Yeah, it is actually. The Honorable Wayne Monroe is the Minister of National Security. You have the Honorable Vaughn Miller, who's the Minister of Environment. And if I could read that, I would tell you. You have the Honorable JoBeth Colby Davis, who's the Minister of Transport and Energy. And then we have the Minister of for Grand Bahama, the Honorable Ginger Moxie. We have the Minister, the Honorable Mario Boled, the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture. We have the Honorable Jomo Campbell, who is the, my God, I can't read that. Like, if you put information on the government website so people could get information, right? They ought to be able to read it. Let me see. Jomo, I think that's agriculture. And we have the Honorable Basil McIntosh. If I could read that, I would definitely read it for you, but I cannot. I'm so sorry. I cannot. We have the Honorable Pierre Glover Roll, who's minister responsible for, and we have the Honorable Lisa Ramming. And if I could read that, it's housing. I know she's in, these are ministers of state, by the way. And then the Honorable Zane Lightburn, who's also Minister of State in the Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Training. Wow. That's crazy. So those are your cabinet ministers. How have they performed? How have they performed? Y'all been listening to me? Anybody wants to weigh in? Anybody? Any one of them? Now, bear in mind that a cabinet minister, as I indicated, it has the responsibility for the policy direction of a portfolio, okay, which is a set of activities within the government sector, right? So that's their responsibility. I told you what the prime minister's responsibility of the cabinet is. And so the question becomes one of, like, how do you evaluate a cabinet minister's performance, right? How do you evaluate their performance? Well, first of all, you'd want to know that the minister is fully knowledgeable of his or her responsibilities. How would you know that? Well, you could only know that if when you hear them speak to the matters in relation to their portfolio, that they seem in command of the facts of the portfolio, of their responsibilities. And you get any number of opportunities to see that. You get to see that by way of communications they may make to Parliament, by way of debates they might have be engaged in Parliament, by interviews that they may do in the press, interviews they may do on talk shows, speeches they may make. All of these things can give you a sense of, that person seems to understand and know what they're portfolio as well, because there's nothing to be said before knowing what your portfolio is. The reasons why a minister, on first being appointed to a cabinet post, spends time knowing what the responsibilities are, both in law and otherwise, understanding what projects, programs, procedures, etc., relate and connect to that ministry, so that they are in command of the public policy realities of the ministry, right? That's the first thing. then you want to see the extent to which the minister is exercising directional control of the ministry. Remember, they go before election to the people of the Bahamas and put before the people a document. And if you're the FNM, it's the manifesto. If you're the PLP, it's the plan. Making promises to do these things. Well, these things all fall into various ministries. And a minister has the responsibility of pushing forward those things. So the question for you becomes, in relation to these matters within that ministry, how far has the minister moved the needle of that thing? And he might say, oh, the PS causing me and this. You don't even want to hear that. That's irrelevant. The job is moving forward. Because if a PS or DPS or somebody else, you say, is stopping you, move them. And if you say, the prime minister, listen, I can't get this done. If this person's still here, if the prime minister don't move them, then they're not the problem. And so you're looking for movement of laws, of pronounced policies, of projects, of programs, of procedures in relation to that ministry. So you're asking yourself, how far have they advanced these things? In relation to their portfolio, what is it that I know and can observe about progress being made of things in that portfolio? Right? You want to listen to their communication. How regular do they communicate? How concisely do they communicate? How clearly do they communicate? And how responsively they communicate in respect of their ministerial responsibilities. You want to take stock of that. Okay? So those are a set of things that you might examine in relation to the performance of a minister. Now, some ministries have less of a profile than others, but that ain't your business. Because if the minister is interested in the public being aware of his or her responsibilities, they must make them aware. They must take occasion to make them aware. And they must be seized of the facts of their ministry and be capable of articulating to the public the facts of those ministries. You might look at how they respond to crises or challenges within their ministries. Are they calm and collected and decisive and thoughtful and strategic? These things might come into your mind as you think about the performance of ministers. It isn't a question of who I like and don't like. People like you for no reason sometimes. People don't like you for no reason sometimes. So that's not a question of, do I like this one? Do I like that one? That don't matter. Now, if a minister's personality comes across in a offensive way, etc., well, that could very well play on how people evaluate him or her. Professionalism and comportment all matter to how you are perceived as a cabinet minister, because you hold a weighty office. And the office is not, you are not the office. You are in the office as a cabinet minister. And hopefully you enhance the office's, reputation within the public sphere rather than diminish it. All right? So I give you that background, and so when we come back, maybe you will weigh in on your thoughts about the matter. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Complain,
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. From curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences, this is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference. Talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Talking about cabinet ministers and their performances, and gave you a background I hope was helpful to understanding the role of cabinet ministers. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Lang.
Hey, what's going on?
Firstly, let me say how professional your producer is. Very much professional. The cabinet position, I'll give you my thought. I think should have never been there. How that sound?
Okay, we're listening to you, bro.
I would go with the Prime Minister. I would go with the Deputy Prime Minister.
Okay.
I would go with, well, he is good on foreign affairs. He can travel. He knows where to go. Believe it or not, I'll go with Lisa Roaming in Urban Renewal. She's helping a lot of people, a lot of people that I asked, you know, with my little influence. She helped a lot of people. There are a lot of people. Not only in Marathon, all around talking highly about her. And my fifth and final will have to be Miss Jobet Kobe David. She has the number three man in the opposition running around like a chicken without a head. Now, the two I think should have never been there was Mike Hart and I'm going to give it his right title, Reverend Vaughn Miller. I'm talking for me. And I want you in closing to let the doctor know that the clinic is in South Beach, not Bamboo Town. He in the wrong constituency. Mm-hmm. Tell him the South Beach, the clinic is not in South Beach. It is in Bamboo Town.
Who doctor is this?
Dr. Dwayne Sines.
Okay.
Tell him we don't need the doctor in Bambutown. We good.
We talking with the cabinet now, man.
Thanks a lot. Well, he was in the cabinet.
No, he ain't in this cabinet, though, so don't try to get slick with me. We talking about this cabinet. This cabinet. Thank you. Appreciate it, man. My boy will not let up. Y'all keep giving Antoine all his props. My boy will not give up. All right, folks. So what say ye? What say ye? I had one call. No text. No, not a problem. No. So, I'm going to give you all my thoughts on some of them, but I want to hear from you all. I want to hear from you all before I do. I mean, mom's away today. You have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Yes, sir. I'm good. How are you?
So I say the Minister of Finance has to go. Definitely has to go. Because the country, there are so many people, number one, that's not being paid. And Minister mm-hmm. of Education, a lot has not been completed. And a lot of people have not been paid. That's my take on it, sir.
A lot of what has not been completed in education?
A lot of work has not been completed in the schools, and a lot of contractors have not been paid.
How would you know that? You survey schools
all over? I know that. I know that for a fact, but I can't say that. You know I can't say that.
If you tell me you are intimately involved with these things, then I'd have to say okay then, but I don't, you know, but you're saying a lot of work.
Let me just tell you this.
Typically, if a lot of things are undone in schools, you will hear that from people like Belinda Wilson. Now, I'm not suggesting things aren't undone but I have not heard her or anyone else in the education community really talking broadly about undone work. Now, it may...
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you able to invite Belinda on the show?
Anytime. Absolutely. Anytime. But she also, if she believes that something is important to communicate, she will call.
Yeah, because I know for a fact, I can't go too deep into it.
Understood.
But I do a little work around there, not for Ministry of Works, but I'm just telling you that there's a lot undone. What we need to do, and can you hear me for a minute? What we need to do is have proper maintenance. There should be a maintenance shed in the schools, and there should be someone there five days a week that be
Understood.
Able to take care of the schools. So when it comes to summer repairs, there isn't going to be that much. I think we're doing it awkward. I think we're doing it bad.
Okay, brother. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your calling. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, Mr. Lang.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes. Did you just call?
Yeah, you could hear me?
Yeah, you just called me a minute ago?
No, man.
Okay. Boy, you and I have a voice sound similar. Go ahead.
I miss been a lot of food. But my point, most of ministries, they didn't perform right. For instance, Kobe Davis, she should not have been there.
Who's that? Young or I'm fading? Who shouldn't have been there?
I'm saying Kobe Davis, she should not been there. Her performance to me is F. Cars on the road with no plates. Road traffic is a mess. BC cutting off every minute. You can hear me?
Can hear you. Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah. And to me, she should be F. Then you got what is his name? The one with the Ministry of Works. Road them being paid for years.
White.
The worst ever see the road. Then you got the county towns them going up. And there's wait till they get about 50,000 and then they can say we can all done.
Sweeting is our public works.
Yeah. He he is a good D. Okay? Let me call you back if you don't mind.
We gotta go to news break in a minute. This says Wayne Monroe has to go. There's too many questions around his ministry, says that texter. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We're talking about cabinet ministers and their performances. When we come back, we'll be back.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join me here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We're talking about cabinet ministers and their performances today. I was waiting to hear from you. If you've heard some of you, someone said that road traffic is a mess. That's not been my experience, but someone else here texts, I'd like to say I went to Department of Road Traffic on Tonic Williams Darling Highway to license my car today, and the service was exceptional. The caller just said road traffic is a mess. Yeah, that's not been my experience at all, that road traffic is a mess. No. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. In my opinion, the cabinet is too large. Don't know if it can be downsized. Of course it could be downsized, but that would have to be at the pleasure of the Prime Minister. All right, so he can downsize it if he wishes. This text says, Pierre Glover rolled for the win. Unequivocally the most active and productive minister thus far. She came in public service, dealt with the anomalies and fixed systematic backlog in the service. Worse is PM Davis, clueless with any oversight, allowing the financial secretary to make decisions not in the best interest of the country, says that texter. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Brother Chivago, good afternoon.
Yes, how are you doing?
Doing good. Two very quick points here. First and foremost, Ministry of Works, as it pertains to road maintenance, if it falls under their portfolio, that is a disaster. I know definitely that the cabinet has to, I think, approve the funding for the road works, which falls under the purview then of the Minister of Finance, which is our Prime Minister. And I'm going to tell you, the Bahamian people are not satisfied with the quality of the roads that we're rolling on. Having to repair vehicles, change tires, change shocks, change struts, tie rod ends, and so on and so forth. We are lost. We're paying all these high taxes, but yet the quality of the roads are not being maintained. So either one last thing, as now is coming commonplace now, is that the Minister of Finance should be autonomous or should be under a separate person and not under the Prime Minister's fingertips. This is something that's now really being settled here in the public domain. We have to fix these two situations and try to fix this country, especially as it pertains to our roadworks and our building infrastructures all over the place that is looking dilapidated. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, thank you. You know, so far what I have heard doesn't really assess broadly a minister, saving and except for the texter who talked about Pierre Clover, right? The texter, I thought, you know, did a good job in trying to provide a broad assessment of how she has performed, an assessment which, quite frankly, I agree with. That's the win, unequivocally the most active. So here's somebody's and this is what I'm saying. You know, how communicative, how public has the minister been in respect to their ministry? This is not you as a MP. This is about you as a ministry. You cannot deny that Pierre Glover, the Honorable Pierre Glover, has been very communicative about her ministry. In her early days, some of her comments I even took exception to. I just thought that in the earlier statements she need, and I spoke to her on the show, but again, she is not one of those persons who takes it personally or anything like that. She then goes ahead and adjusts where she needs to adjust. So she's been very high profile, very communicative, very professional in her demeanor. She seems to have full command of the ministry to the extent that when she speaks of matters in her portfolio, in her ministry, she is aware of what is going on. This isn't about whether you agree or disagree. She also seems to have charge of moving the thing in a direction or the other, right? And so the person says she's been active and productive, and I think that is true. So she came in public service, dealt with anomalies, and fixed systemic backlogs in the service. And you heard her regularly communicating and speaking to that, right? And so that's what I'm talking about, an assessment of a minister. So another minister and look at it. If you look at Dr. Michael Darvill, again, agreed with or disagreed with, high profile, very communicative, very responsive when matters arise in relation to his ministry. Now, as to the effect of things on the ground, to the extent that he has responsibility to push those forward, well, you could make a judgment one way or the other in terms of results. But in terms of communicating that I am responsible for the direction of this ministry, I am on top of moving policies in this ministry, et cetera, it's hard to deny that would be the case with him. Actually, in respect to the prime minister, that is also true. So the prime minister, in terms of his comportment, I think has shown a very professional comportment and has sought to handle the public in a way that is mostly respectful and what have you. In his role as a coordinator, in his first half of his term, there were instances where it was clear that coordination was not being done so well, right? And so, but there seems to have been less such disjointedness in the second half of his term so far, insofar as that, as in terms of communicating to the public, he's been reasonably active in that way, communicating to the public. You may not agree with what he communicates, right? But he is communicating to the public. He is responsive for the most part, not in all part, as an effective, proactive communicator of his government's public policies. There's work to be done there. Of transparency and accountability, that is largely his charge, responsible for the government. there's work to be done, even there, right? And I'm not grading anybody, but so overall, as the chief minister of the country, I think Prime Minister gets a mixed review from me. If you take, for instance, the Honorable Fred Mitchell, who's Minister of Foreign Affairs, what I find striking about Minister Mitchell, he's high profile, very communicative, but in relation to political matters as chairman, less so as Minister of Foreign Affairs. In fact, given the, now, mind you, in terms of projecting himself into the international arena, there have been some decisive measures, policy measures taken by him. So in terms of those matters, he is clearly in charge of the direction of things in relation to that, whether it's Obama's position on this, Obama's position on that, communicating the Obama's travel advisories. There's clearly that. But if you profile chairman versus foreign affairs, you could see that one has taken a much more frontal role than has the other. All right. Would I ever doubt that Fred Mitchell is in command of the information and knowledge of his ministry? Never. I assure you that. Now, whether he and how he communicates that regularly and effectively to the public, that's a different story. Some of these ministers, so let me give you something that you may regard somewhat controversial when I say it. Wayne Monroe, the Honorable Wayne Monroe, has been an active, communicative, and decisive and deliberate cabinet minister. This isn't about, and you may not like it, and insofar as he is responsible for crime, under his watch, murder included, is trending downward into the reportings of the commissioner. He backs down from no hard question. You may not like his answers. He does say some things that maybe a minister shouldn't say in order to have himself and his government be better perceived, but he backs down from no questions. So he's a very active minister, very engaged minister, very public minister. And so I have to say that he is one of those more potent ministers. Now, to be honest with you all, and I think you all might know this from all my communications, Glenys Hannah-Martin is bar none an effective cabinet minister. This isn't about whether everything goes right or the outstanding things needing to be done in her ministry. That's not really the point at all. She is communicative. She is profiled. She is active. She is engaged. She is knowledgeable of the affairs of her ministry. And she is clearly commanding the direction, public policy direction of her ministry. So to me, an outstanding cabinet minister, outstanding, and I have said here before, Pierre Glover role, I think, has enormous potential. So I'm giving you an assessment in the mix now. So you see how I do it. It's not about the particular things. So we come back to some of the others in a little bit. All right, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. All right, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Yeah, but I can't help that, bro.
Okay, I hear you now.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Now, I understand what you're saying. I have the utmost respect for you. As far as communication and litigation is concerned, that is most of their jobs as lawyers. They can litigate. What we need, and I want you to hear me clearly, what we need a group of business people. I could tell you this now, okay? Tourism is given credit to the Deputy Prime Minister, but the truth of the matter is the seed was planted by D'Aguila and others before him, but D'Aguila pushed us into a different dimension when it comes to tourism. Okay, why? Because he was a businessman. So I understand what you're saying with the litigations with...
No, you don't understand what I'm saying because I didn't talk about litigation. Comments about cabinet ministers down to litigation. Those are your words.
Okay. Let me rephrase that. I understand what you say when you said that they are doing a very good job.
And, no, you didn't. I didn't say that either. I talked about some ministers and whether they are active, communicative, responsive, and that kind of thing. That's what I said. Some I noted are outstanding in that regard.
Right. Okay, I got you now. So I just want to say
That's not a lawyer's thing and that's not a businessman thing. You are business people who are not communicative, who are not very responsive, who are not professional in their department, etc. So business, that ain't no businessman characteristic.
Okay, so I'm agreeing on you with that. But I just want to say that I think that we need to allow some young business people to come in there with new ideas. Why? Because, first of all, education in itself, for many years have been struggling to, and when I say that, what I mean is the repairs. Contract the repairs, struggling to repair in June. It was upward to August when some people finally got their contract, or what you call a down payment for their contract. Most people would have to literally put their hands in their pocket, go to the bank, and start the project. Some people
Do you want me, sir?
Yes, sir.
A businessman will not solve that. With the greatest respect to you, a businessman will not solve that. Dame Ivy Dumont was Minister of Education. She was not a lawyer. Teresa Moxie Ingram, not a lawyer. C.A. Smith, not a lawyer. Paul Adley was, Paul Adley's a lawyer. He was Minister of Education. Right. Bernard Nottage was a doctor.
Right.
So that's not the let me tell you something. What you are pointing to right now, to be honest with you, that delay and stuff, you know what that mostly reflects? Mostly reflects, one, financial constraints.
Hold on.
Yeah. Two, scheduling constraints because our children are in school for such a large period of the year. And then finally, politics, partisan politics. Because we are more concerned to give a contract so that a little man gets some piece of the contract and the job done. Because if we wanted the job really done, we might give it to big contractors and let them go do the job.
Okay, I understand that. I got your picture there. But can we plan this a little better? And I think the budget should be way ahead of time. Whereas by June, they should already
listen to me.
Listen to me for a minute.
If the government of the Bahamas wants to put $15-20 million into fixing buildings in the Commonwealth of the schools in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, $30 million, that ain't no thing in terms of mobilizing money. I have told you what the biggest issues are in relation to the delay.
Okay.
And it's mostly politics, partisan politics. When a minister is uninterested, disinterested in participating too much in the partisan politics, they might get something done. Now, to be honest with you, as far as I'm aware, the delays, multiple delays that we had seen in times past and years past under Glenys Anna Martin, I've not been there, not to my knowledge.
Okay. Can I make another important suggestion? And this is for Jerry.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We have our schools there, right? And we are a very hurricane-prone country. When I say that, we have hurricanes traveling through
in the Caribbean most of the time. Thank God we haven't had a hurricane. We haven't seen one in the Bahamas yet. But anyway, why don't we build two-story schools, and then when hurricane is going on, we can use them as a shelter. You understand what I'm trying to say? Is that something that you think would be wise? Because number one, if you use you build two-story or three-story schools, and you use the top as shelter, at least at the shelter you have sufficient bathrooms. And kids ain't gonna be in school during hurricane. And shortly after the hurricane is dissipated, we have cleaners coming in and they clean up the whole place and we're back to square one. It's just a suggestion. And I'll come off and listen to what you have to say. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you calling, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. This text says, well, I beg to differ with the assessment of Pia Glover Rolls. She's just like some of these ministers, has victimized and sent labor staff home without any reason. Someone was sent home for 3.5 until retirement. The individual reached out to her to be reinstated and she did nothing. Also, some of her decisions regarding labor and the public service is off course and she needed to learn more about ILO procedures. She is unprofessional by making a video dancing while... Well, I mean, that's your assessment. That's why I asked for people's assessment. That's your assessment. You accuse her of victimization. How we can know that? How the general public can know that? That could or could not be true. And, you know, you mentioned other things which this sounds like personal, like in terms of, you know, so I don't know. We only could know what we experience, observe in from the public. And I changed nothing about my assessment based on that. On what you just said. Nothing whatsoever. Right? Now, if I get new information, then they say, okay, well, maybe this now needs to be adjusted. It says, Mr. Lang, road traffic is not supplying license plates for vehicles on the family islands, private cars, taxis, livery cars. Again? That's still an issue? Still a thing? I thought the minister said that was resolved. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, but aren't most schools two-story? Not to my knowledge. Now, remember now, see some of y'all Nassau people, y'all are very Nassau-centric. Y'all only think about schools in Nassau. So let's see. I don't know. Some schools do have two stories. Some. Not, but many schools are not two-story. I could think of many right now. They're not two-story. Right? But you think in Nassau, right? Come to Jack Hayward in Grand Bahama, St. George's, Junior and Senior. None of them are two stories. In fact, I don't think there's a two stories. Well, yeah, Jack Hayward has some of his blocks are two story. Yeah, some of them. maybe. let's see here. All right. Some cabinet ministers have no profile whatsoever. I mean, like, public profile. Like, you do not hear from them much. You do not know what they are doing. And therefore, the only assessment you could make is that they are not very engaged. Certainly not with the public. Now, what they're doing in their ministry, if you could feel it, then you could say, oh, yeah, but at least you could feel what they're doing. But the truth of the matter is, you can't see them and you can't feel them. Right? Now, if you're the Minister of Public Works, this is a ministry where your impact on the public can be magnificently felt. And if you aren't being felt, you'll be felt in a negative way. People are driving on your roads. Observing your public facilities. They are interacting with the Ministry of Public Works with regularity on many occasions for many things. The Minister of Public Works is not a very active person in terms of public profile, not very communicative at all. And I could only take it that the commentary that we get on these shows about the roads in Nassau. And, of course, I experienced those. And now many public facilities, in what shape many public facilities are in, is a reflection on his leadership of the ministry of public works. And again, you know, I say this again, right? I don't know what is in the mind of some people when they come to ministries, but there, I think that if you're the Minister of Public Works, there are ways to make such an impact on the public that they would see right away something is different. For instance, if you really have an effective maintenance program, listen, if you go to some public buildings and see, oh, they get rid of the body hanging over, you know, the little fountain actually works with regularity, right? I'm not jumping in all these sinkholes. I mean, how many times people have to talk about these potholes in the road before people say, you know what, we should not in the 21st century, in the capital city of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, in the most populated island in the country, have all these potholes for people to fall in? You be ducking potholes all the time. Should not have to be. You can't tell me you are spending $180 million, $120 million, $52 million on islands that are connected to the prime minister, the deputy prime minister, to the minister of public works, etc. And you cannot stop the citizens of the Bahamas who live in the most populated, active, economically dynamic part of the Bahamas from falling in potholes. Potholes? You remember, Allen Iverson used to say, practice? My God, we're talking about practice? We're talking about potholes, dude. We are telling the world that we want to advance carbon credit. We are telling the world that we want to have climate change financing. We're telling the world that we are a modern country. And the people in the Bahamas, in the most populated island in the country, dropping in potholes? Man, I'd make an impact on that. I'd be able to persuade the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, sir, what an impact we could have just changing the daily lives of people if they suddenly woke up and found 1 year after we got elected, dang, y'all notice we don't have no potholes, we be falling in all the time around this place. Y'all notice that? Huh? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. Challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Chikchani Challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chikchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chikchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicChaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Daniel Boulud, Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, and Simeon Hall Jr., alongside a vibrant lineup of Bahamian chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. And don't miss an electrifying live performance by global superstar Lenny Kravitz, headlining the festival's welcome party on Friday, October 24th, with a concert experience you won't forget. This is more than a festival, it's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage. Bahamar, life spectacular. This is Guardian Radio 96 Smart Talk. All day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, Mr. Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Yeah, no, I can't ask a call back. Now, you're one of these ministers. The Minister of Health, I don't think he did a good job. That's a bad one. He ain't did a good job. And
who's this?
Mr. Mitchell. Hello?
You said this minister didn't do a good job? Minister of Health?
No, yeah, man. Let me see those ambulances where they going by, and people still got to wait in the ward, and they didn't truly out there at the hospital. The performance ain't there.
Again, what I'm trying to say to folks is, some of y'all are saying he's doing a good job, they're not doing a good job. That's not the evaluation I'm making per se. I'm talking about what you expect from a minister. Now, what you're pointing to is a result of something in his ministry. So you could say, in respect of that result, he or she is not achieving any result. You could say that. Now, is that the only thing in his ministry? The only thing?
No. Okay. There are other things. People still come, you got to wait out in the ward. I mean, got to wait out in the hall.
On medicine, on MRI. Yes, I agree with you. So I'm saying, though, when you're evaluating people, give them more information, though, so that they it's not a...
I say the Ministry of Works, right? Mm. I can narrow down the main thing. He's in charge of paving the road. Poor job, road being paved for years and years, right? The shanty towns pop up. Poor job on that, you know.
They found the meldings. Hello?
Hey. Yeah, no, I'm listening to you.
They are fundamental things. See, because they can say, you ain't performing because I use a minister. You got to perform. You got to perform. Okay. They fundamental things. He's responsible for the road. We all got to use these roads every day. And I could go on and on you for a little while, but I want to say that that's what's going on. These people get this position, and they ain't bringing nothing new, nothing different. And when I tell you Kobe Davis, she make it worse. The first time I hear me run out of place, that never happened. Huh? Mr. Lane. All right, the Minister of National Security, I'll give him probably a B minus.
Okay.
All
right, thanks a lot.
Let me see another one. Mr. Mitchell. Mm-hmm. His performance, to me, is B. Giving out all his passport and almost trying to give away the country. That's the way I feel.
What are you giving away?
Give out all his passport, almost trying to give away the country, Mr. Light. You give out too much citizenship.
He doesn't give away citizenship because in order for a person to be granted citizenship, the cabinet of the Bahamas has to approve that, the immigration board. So you can't blame him.
All right.
You can't blame him individually for any citizenship grant.
Well, but when the time comes, the people can say him, because he's a minister.
Yeah, and people like me who know better could correct them and say no, them.
Ah, so we have to correct. They have to correct that. You see, I just don't like what I see going on in this country. It bring me back. When y'all was on, when the FLM was in power, it was a better one. Anything goes. Anything goes. And they could do a much better job than what they are doing now. Specifically, you call that girl Glover. I think she did well. She trying to do good. Education, I'll give her a C. Attorney General, but I don't know much. If he much, I don't know if the background.
Ryan Pinder is not. Actually, he does. He has a reasonably high profile, but more in relation to international issues. Ryan is the kind of person. Well, the Attorney General Ryan Pinder is the kind of person who's got his head down working. I mean, so you see the legislation being pushed out. You see his speeches and communications and what have you. So, quite frankly, I mean, I think that he has demonstrated him. He's shown himself to be a quite capable cabinet minister, and he's also very responsive.
Okay, let me say my last one. The Minister of Housing, I think they could do a better job. We got land, we almost giving away around here, and I always talk about this. You got a high story on Carmichael Road, West of Bacardi Road. I would rather see the housing minister. We have the land here. You could build more houses for the Bahamian people, man. That's the piece of land here where they give away on Carmichael. They put the person doing functions on. That could build some houses, low cost housing there for people. But let's get going.
We losing you, but no problem. Thanks for calling. Yeah. He mentioned Joe Beth Colby, Minister responsible for transport and energy. A dynamic person, high profile. Communicative. She's active in the parliament, active in the public sphere. But, in some instances, as I indicated to you all, when you say things and do things that bring yourself into some negative light, then that can impact on how people see you. The fact is, though, in the major tenets of her ministry, BPL and transportation, she has some significant negatives that is impacting how she is seen as a performer. right? They may not, in actuality, be her fault, but you're responsible for the ministry. And as they say, the buck would stop with you. So she's got that challenge she faces in that very interesting ministry. I think the Z Live, I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when you're already on the path forward, having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we've been talking about the cabinet 4 years into the government's tenure and to date. This text says, my friend, I live in Central Andrus, Fresh Creek, and Standard Creek School. Work is still going on. Many vehicles are licensed without license plates. We have perfect roads, says that individual. Perfect roads. Nice. This text says, I give Pia Gloverol an A for her work at the Ministry of Public Service. As a civil servant, I was waiting for my back pay for over 15 years. Previous governments, PLP and FNM, did nothing to help me. I was owed thousands of dollars. Mrs. Roll was the only one who made certain I got my money that was owed to me. So that's very personal. That could happen for anybody, and you could have a bad minister do that for you. So that says you're happy because you got sorted out. That's not how we evaluate a person's performance in relation to their responsibilities overall, right? I mean, I understand that that's for you very important, but it's a little narrow. She, for other reasons, I think she has been quite capable, right, in terms of her broad performance, et cetera. But I mean, somebody else might have had a bad experience with her who pointed out something, and then now that colors up. But in the mean, the question is, what's been people's experience with her ministry and the agencies of her ministry? This text says, good day in Grand Bahama, Freeport Primary, Walter Parker Primary, St. George's and Pioneers Loops, Mary Patricia and the new school in the Rocks. Sorry to correct you on air. To correct me about what? You mean about them being two stories? Yeah. No, you don't have to feel sorry. They are all two stories, St. George's. Mind you, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Thanks for that, yeah. Says Lang, I believe the four main things the voters would decide at the election polls number immigration, BPL inflation, and crime. I'm not really talking about what voters will decide. I'm just talking about how our government ministers have performed. You see? And that's really the bottom line. At the end of the day, you give a cabinet direction and control of the government. What does that give them? That gives them the ability to determine what the government does or does not do, when the government does or does not do it, where the government does or does not do it, and why the government does and does not do it. You want me to say that again? When I give you the general direction and control of the government, you get to decide what the government does or does not do, when the government does or does not do it, how the government does or does not do it, where the government does or does not do it, and why the government does and does not do it. So, in evaluating the overall performance of the cabinet, if you're being true to its responsibilities, you ask yourself, what has been the direction of the government in relation to its activities over these last 4 years? What has the government been doing these last 4 years? Right? Because whatever the government has been doing is what the cabinet allowed it to do. Whatever it didn't do is what the cabinet did not allow it to do. That's the bottom line. You could make all the excuses you want. How the government did it, that's on the cabinet too. Because you have control of the government. Where the government did it, that's on you too. Because you have control of the government. When did it do it? You have control of the government. And why you did it? You have control of the government. So you look in of the public sector and ask yourself, what is the direction of the country? What is the direction of the country, or what is happening in this area based on the conduct behavior of the government? And it will tell you, well, they are doing a good job or not doing a good job. Based on that, you can look at education, crime, economy, foreign affairs, immigration, energy, transport, agriculture and fisheries, youth sports and culture, public service, all of those areas. What did it do? You said, well, nothing. And then, okay. Then the government didn't want to do anything, or whatever it tried to do, nothing happened. Or plenty. Well, whatever the government wanted to do, that's what happened. Now, when we make these assessments, we have our personal experiences, and then we have, you know, observations that may be more broad than that. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. Hello? We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. No? Okay. Boat drop. Boy, y'all had some bad luck just now. So that's the thing. Now, it's hard to, you know, not get the personal, but yeah. if you tried, you might. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing, man?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Doing okay, thank you. President of the Bahamas is doing a wonderful job responding to the needs of the Bahamian people, not only on New Providence, but across the family of islands, where there's been a lack of infrastructure upgrades consistently. The government is doing a lot of work on Andros, Rumkey, with the Prime Minister's constituency, right? Exuma, Abaco, Idutra. Infrastructural works are taking place all over the country on the family islands to upgrade the road network, to upgrade the electricity grid and the electrical network, to upgrade water supply network.
All right, Anton. Anton. Help me now. Help me. So your assessment is the cabinet is doing a great job. There are many examples for that from you. Okay. Thanks, man. All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right. So there you go. Let me tell you that tomorrow we will hear from the Parliamentary Commissioner in respect of the modernization of the election of the country, at least some elements of them. And this is courtesy of the Government and Public Policy Institute. So we'll have a policy Wednesday with the Parliamentary Commissioner tomorrow. So if you want to be aware of all these new developments taking place in respect of our upcoming general elections, like the biometrics introductions and stuff like that, what questions, queries you might have about the way we're going to vote and that kind of thing, I encourage you to tune in tomorrow, because we will be addressing those very important matters tomorrow with the person who is closest to the situation. And that way there'd be no need for speculation, misinformation in relation to that. All right, so that's tomorrow, Policy Wednesday, as we hear from the Parliamentary Commissioner in respect of some of the new developments, modernizations taking place within the Parliamentary Registration Department. All right? So look forward to being with you tomorrow for that. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. God spares life. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Take care. You feel like you've been down the same.